Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Prophecy Zone. My name is Phil Armstrong. The little girl you just heard, a little two-year-old at the time, I don't know how old she is, but I had to put my girl on there and say the Lord's Prayer by the month of babes. But I'd like to welcome everybody to the show. We have an awesome show today. Susan Polio, hoping I'm saying her right name right. I was kind of worried about that. Was on the show from Prophetic News. Awesome lady. Sister in the Lord, she's, I love her show because I've listened to it a whole bunch of times, and she tells the truth, and I hope everybody wants to hear the truth out there, because the truth will set you free. You just don't hear that on Fred Sanford. The truth will set you free. And also, in our second hour, we're going to have from Watchman Chronicles, Phoenix. So, if you listened to my last show, it was an awesome show. Today we're going to be talking about the Obama administration for all your Obama nights. Hopefully we don't disappoint you and tick you off. We want you to come back and hear the gospel, but that's fine. And in the last hour, we're going to have Jeffrey Grubble from We Kill Children. And the name can be sort of misleading, but it's an awesome show. He's very passionate about the abortion, anti-abortion, but his main objective is to put the word out, and that's awesome. I'm really behind these three guests today as they go about proclaiming the truth. And I'm about proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ. And before I bring my first guest on, I want to talk to y'all real quickly about a verse someone gave me a while back. Actually, I was working at Job Corps, and I was a social service assistant working with the kids. And we had a church there, a Baptist church we used to go to, and he had gave me a verse. And everybody knows, it's supposed to be familiar with it. It's Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And we have a lot of people have problems with this verse, not believing it, but doing it. And I also have some problems with it also. So we need to trust in the Lord. And like God told Joshua, he told him to go forth and be strong and I will be behind you. And that's what we need in these last days, is that God is going to work for us on his will on our behalf. So we might need to keep that in mind. But we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back in a minute.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Santa's habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the scripture tells of his coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
Wow, I was waiting for another commercial. I haven't played these commercials for a while. I was waiting for another commercial to come on. But it didn't happen. Y'all going to hear some babies crying in the back. I'm going to level with you. Them my kids in the back, and sort of like freak out because the earphones that I'm using, you can't really, I can hear the kids well. But on the radio programs, when I play them back, I can't hear them as loud. So I apologize. Okay, well, next week we're going to have a nice show on Sunday, and it's going to be on the Mark of the Beast. We're going to have a special guest, so we're going to have a surprise special guest on next week, so stay tuned there. And then I'm going to have on Thursday, we're also going to have a special guest that I'm actually going to talk to y'all about later on in the show. So stay tuned. We got a whole bunch of guests coming up, and hopefully these three people, this wonderful people that's going to be on the show today, hopefully they'll come back and do the show again. And I'm also going to be at a time where I don't even have any guests. I'll just rant and see where the Lord leads us at that moment. God is good, and He is preparing the people for the last days. He's preparing His people for that trumpet sound. I know some of y'all don't believe that there is a preacher of rapture, but I do. And reading the Bible over and over and over and over again, I still can't dismiss the fact that God has always prepared his people for escape. And you say, well, what about the missionary? Well, you got to be reasonable and say that there is a wrath of God and there is a wrath of Satan. Just because the Bible does not say anything about the wrath of Satan, and mostly says about the wrath of God, there is a wrath of Satan, if you didn't know by now. And you have to distinguish between the two. The day of the Lord, it begins with as a thief in the night. For us rapture people, that means the rapture of the church. It's a seven-year period ushered in by the millennium. Now, the millennium is truly the day of the Lord. But the start of the day of the Lord, and Joel and Zechariah and all those, is a day of gloom. But it's the wrath of God. It's not the wrath of Satan. Now, the wrath of Satan has killed missionaries for years. God is not going to kill it. Jesus said a house divided against itself would not stand. If God allowed missionaries to be killed, now when the tribulation period, God would allow things to happen, and Christians have been dying through the ages, so evidently John would be still walking around with a lot of other Christians if he didn't allow us to die. God has not removed the natural gravity or the natural regular, you know, nature of the world. He hasn't removed any normal things. You still die. You still got to eat. Still got to sleep. Just because you become a Christian don't mean you ain't gonna die. Now what? Jesus said that he is not the God of the dead, but he is the God of the living. Amen. So God is the resurrection and the life. And one day we will see him again, and that may be coming very soon. Okay, I'm going to welcome my guest today, Susan Pozio. Hopefully I'm not butchering her name, but she's a wonderful sister. I want to talk about, let me bring her on first. Susan?
Yeah. Hi, Phil.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. Yeah. I was just looking at your YouTube video before you came on, the one you did about Billy Graham.
Yeah, most of those videos are kind of like I just got the program, and I have to go and find out why those videos are so what you call delayed reaction. So
yeah.
Once I get that problem taken care of, I should be okay, and I should
yeah,
be getting a lot of...
Yeah, it was good, though. It was good. It was a good message. I enjoyed it.
Okay, thank you. I guess what I want to talk about first, because a while back, I had got a tape from, what's his name? He has a radio program. Hank Kindergram? Are you familiar with him?
No.
Okay, Hank Hanegraaff put out a tape.
Hank Hanegraaff?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I said his name wrong, didn't I? I butchered his name, too. I didn't butcher yours, did I? I'm in college, and I'm still dyslexic.
Oh, you didn't do too bad. You didn't do, it's Puzio, but you didn't do
okay.
too bad. You didn't
okay.
It wasn't too bad. I've heard
okay.
worse.
Okay. Now, the book that he had, Counterfeit Christianity.
Oh, yeah, that was a good book, yeah.
I liked that
book, yeah. It was very good.
I like the storyline that it had. I had that on, it's on YouTube. You can go on YouTube and look at it. It's like a story. He tells the story of how the faith movement, what they believe.
Yeah, that was an excellent book.
Yeah. So I guess what I want to talk about is the faith movement first.
Yeah.
Okay. How did you become familiar with the faith movement? Actually, let's back up. You tell me about your history. What's your past as far as how did you figure out the faith movement?
Well, I got involved, I guess, right after I got saved. I got saved in 1981. And I was out in Colorado, and first I was going to a real traditional Baptist church, and then I started going to this Word of Faith, faith movement church, and then I got involved with Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland and Norval Hayes and I started reading all their books and listening to their tapes, and basically I started a full-time ministry myself where I traveled and got involved preaching in many of the Word of Faith churches. And but you know, I started to figure out something was wrong, and it just started making me feel so uncomfortable. And I couldn't rectify the things they were saying with the Word of God. So I said, well, I mean, something's wrong because it's not lining up with Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So and then I started to read books like books that they were banned. I mean, in the Word of Faith movement, you are not allowed to read Dave Hunt's book, Seduction of Christianity. Oh, everybody badmouthed that book.
Yeah.
It was like the Inquisition, you know, or where they banned books, you know.
Yeah.
We don't want you to know that. So, yeah. Hank Hanegraaff, oh, no, we don't want you to know that. But I started reading those books, and it made so much sense to me. And then one book that I really loved was A Different Gospel by McConnell. And he actually was a board member at ORU. He was on the board there. And he started to notice so many things were wrong, too. And he wanted to talk to these people and try to straighten it out. And they really didn't want to listen to him, Oral Roberts and Richard Roberts. And so he wrote this book, and he exposed Kenneth Hagin, showed how he plagiarized Kenyon just about word for word in his books, and how Kenyon actually attended a New Age university.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think it was Emerson College back in the 1900s. And they were very into New Thought and Christian Science and that type of thing. And so his roots were there. And so then I started to realize that it was really very much Christian Science, very much a New Age gospel, most of it.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's sort of what I've came across the last couple of years is that a lot of those guys they channel their gospel to words a lot of the time.
Yeah.
What do you think when you hear like as far as the church, do you believe it's a it's worldwide? I mean, it's a worldwide movement that's in your basic local churches.
You mean
that,
the Word of Faith?
The faith, yeah.
Oh yeah, it's a worldwide movement. Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, the thing that really alarmed me when I started traveling overseas. And I would go to places like, I went to Czechoslovakia. Right after communism fell, I went in there, and they were trying to avoid the American gospel, but yet some people were buying into it because they didn't have this kind of gospel like we had in America, the prosperity gospel, and nothing bad can ever happen to a Christian, and because they've been through it. They went through terrible times there trying to be a Christian, and it had to be underground. And then going to places like South Africa and Swaziland, and people were starting to buy into this whole American gospel and to imitate the preachers. Oh, it was terrible. It was really sad. And then to go to places like England, and so many of the pastors had come from Africa, places like Nigeria and Kenya, and they too were starting to just be little clones of Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin, and it was awful.
Yeah.
Really awful.
When did this movement begin to gain speed? I mean, I know.
I would say in the 80s, really.
In the 80s?
Yeah,
wow.
Really in the 80s, because when we used to go to meetings like the Full Gospel Businessmen and Women's Aglow, and people still, back in the 80s, people still really had a pure heart for God, where they wanted to do things for God just because they wanted to please God. They weren't looking for money and fame and sow your seed and give me $1,000 and God blesses you. That wasn't so popular back then. And then all of a sudden it just started to gain speed. And I noticed that people's hearts were changing. We didn't see so much purity in the ministry like I had seen when I first came to the Lord.
Yeah.
And so I basically took myself out of public ministry back about 1997. I wasn't getting, after I knew that I couldn't preach the way they wanted me to preach, and I had to preach the truth of the Word of God, I knew that I was basically going to be banned from most of these churches. You know?
Now, Susan, did you feel that feeling of lonely? I mean, I don't know what you can call it. What's the word for it? When you kind of feel like outcast, sort of?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the thing is, though, I knew that I wrote an article, I think it was in 1997. It was called The Era of Seed Faith Giving.
Mm-hmm.
And I started mailing it out to people that were on my mailing list, and I started to preach this message a little bit in some of these Word of Faith churches. But I knew that as soon as I started preaching that message, that I knew it. I knew that basically my invitations would cease, and I would be banned for the most part. Because, and television too. I used to be a regular guest on quite a few Christian television programs. Well, after that, they didn't invite me back. But I knew what I was doing, and I knew that I had to do it. And it didn't matter to me that I wasn't going to have the ministry that I had as I knew it, but I had to take a stand for Jesus after what he did for me. I had to tell the truth.
Well, I'm glad you're here now.
Yeah.
you're extremely a blessing from God. Let me ask you about, and I'm going to already say to people that you're going to get offended. Some of the stuff that we're probably going to say, you're probably going to get offended. I'm in the right now. I kind of hesitate a lot because I'm down the line about a year from here. Hopefully, I'll just be an easy flow. But I'm trying to make sure I don't do a Imus thing. Stuff. So I'm kind of like hesitant, sort of. I kind of think about what I'm going to say. But anyway, let's talk about Benny Hinn.
Yeah.
Let's cover Benny Hinn, and then we'll go from there. And then, you know, next time we'll talk about somebody. I'm pretty sure we cover a lot in the next year.
There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to talk about.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, what do you know about Benny Hinn? Tell me about him a little bit.
Well, the main thing that you know, I became familiar with Benny Hinn's ministry from being in the Word of Faith movement, and we went over to his church one time. I guess it was back in the 80s. Robert Lairdon was there. I don't know if you're familiar with his ministry, but he had a big ministry, and he was a guest speaker there at Benny Hinn's church, so we went over there, and then they had actually invited me to minister to their singles group. And So I became familiar with the church a little bit, and then I had been working with a ministry called Norval Hayes Ministries, and Benny was a friend of Norval, so he came up and did a meeting at Gatlinburg, Tennessee. This is before he was real big. But yeah. He said some really weird things. Like he said that animals, he believed that all the animals talked at one time. And, yeah. and I thought it was very strange. You know, but we were supposed to respect this man because he was, you know, he had an anointing, you know. And so basically, like, you would think in your mind, there's something wrong here. That doesn't sound right, but you weren't supposed to really say too much because, you know, then you were rebellious or...
Now, was that before or after he said he wished he could have a Holy Ghost machine gun and blow somebody's head off?
Was that... This was before. This was before because he wasn't... Yeah, he wasn't real famous at this time. I mean, he was just starting.
Okay.
This was back in the late '80s.
Before he just bought in more ammunition.
Yeah, he was getting ready for more ammunition. But you know, that the sad thing is that we know that, you know, God uses people, and you know, He can use us any way He wants. But I know that people come to a crossroads. Like, I know Benny probably at one time God said, "Okay, Benny, here's the path you're going to go on. You know, which road are you going to take?" And Benny decided that he was going to go the road of fame and fortune, no matter what he had to do. And he had to compromise, and he did compromise.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the funny thing is that Benny Hinn, there was a videotape that was done sometimes in the 90s. Used to be a guy on the internet, and he had a website called The Lie of the Tithe.
Uh-huh.
And Rick Johnston, I think, was his name. Anyway, he did a videotape. He used to go and do these protests in front of Benny Hinn's church.
Yeah.
And it used to make them so angry that they called the police on him, and they tried to have him arrested, and they tried to bribe him to, you know, pay him off so he wouldn't come and protest over there.
Uh-huh.
But he did this video tape where it shows Benny Hinn. He had traveled somewhere overseas, and they were sitting in a garden smoking a hookah pipe.
Wow.
Now Benny Hinn doesn't put it in his mouth, but he passes it around to Steve Brock, his singer, and this other guy, his aide.
Yeah.
Actually, the news station in Orlando did the video, and they broadcast it on the TV news there.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't long after that Benny Hinn left Orlando, and then he moved out to California. But the thing is, Benny pretends that he has some kind of he has a healing anointing, which Jesus gives to everybody. He just doesn't give it to special people. But that's the part of the deception, is that people are running to people like Benny Hinn to get miracles when Jesus is the miracle worker, and we don't have to run to anybody except Him.
Yes. Now, for these healing crusades, big audiences, I've seen some documentaries about that. I also saw him do an interview on 2020. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty much a draft dodger. He's a truth dodger, I guess. But a lot of these guys are believing that the one thing they have in common is about the faith, the word of faith, the force of faith.
Yeah.
Words, and that's a common thread. All of them want money, of course, but a lot of times the common thread happens to be the force of faith. I used to go to a church, and I'm not going to mention the church right now, but about a year and a half maybe, and the preacher would always preach about, he says, lead by your words, and that was sort of his motto. And I was like, what do you mean by lead by your words? But see, I was looking for a family church, and, you know, you get comfortable and you say, well, my family needs to be in church.
Yeah.
But I finally figured out, lead by your words. Didn't the Bible say the just shall live by faith?
Yeah.
But, I mean, if that's your main motto, lead by your words, then you have a problem because you don't have to fight, you know, the deaf, you know, the people that can't talk. But the faith is to be channeled on the God of the creator of the universe.
That's Jesus, right.
You know, the one in spoken in Colossians, he's the creator of all things.
That's the
focus of faith. That's why the gesture live by faith in Jesus Christ and God the Father who sent him.
That's right.
A lot of these people believe that the word faith can be dangled out there. If you speak something, it's going to happen. But my concern is who's going to do it. You know, if you throw your faith out there, you say, and you know, I've seen people say, and I made a comment to a girl at that same church, and I said, some people tell us that we can step on them. I saw Benny Hinn say, I'll step on the devil, step on the devil, and I'm like, in the name of who? Are you gonna say Jesus? You know, and it said in the book of Jude that they speak evil of dignitaries. Now, the dignitaries there can be also mentioned as angels or fallen angels and devils. So God, he says, in the Word of God, it says that God, that you're supposed to say that Jesus rebukes you, you know, that Jesus is supposed to be the one fighting the battle against the principalities and powers. So enough of my babbling, but let's go on. Let's talk about Creflo Dollar, because I want to hear you talking. You know anything about him?
Well, I mean, the thing that I found amazing was someone from World Changers Church. They have their own IP address. They had been to my website.
Yes.
Now, I was quite excited about that. Because I figured maybe it was Creflo or maybe it was Taffy. I mean, definitely was somebody from World Changers. So I was very happy to see that because I thought, you know, God changed me. He got me out of that mess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe he can get some of these people out of the mess that they're in.
Wow.
And help them. Wouldn't it be great? You know.
Oh, it would be awesome. And check this out, Suka. I was thinking, and I know this might be a bad example, but Samson. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny or nothing, but Samson was, first of all, he was used of a god, and then he kind of went off the track.
Yeah.
And then he had to come back, but you know, he had to push those pullers down to kill the Philistine, the government.
Yeah.
You know, so he was used mindedly.
Yeah,
and
because...
I love... Go ahead.
What the thing is, it's so hard because, you know, they're rich. They're very, very rich.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very hard to give up those riches.
Famous.
And they're famous. And so what happens when you say, hey, most of the stuff I've been telling you isn't the truth? You get the boot. You probably get the boot. You probably lose your big church. You probably lose your Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
You might lose your TV ministry because do you ever hear anybody on TV talking about the error of seed faith or seed faith isn't true? Do you ever hear anybody talking about that? No.
No.
Nobody talks about that on TV. You can't.
No,
you cannot talk about that on Christian television. There isn't one person that I ever heard talk about it. I mean, I would love to hear somebody talk about it on TBN. Never heard anybody talk about it on TBN. Never heard anybody talk about it on World Harvest Network. Never heard anybody on Daystar. They don't let you talk about that because that's how they do their fundraising, through manipulation.
Yes.
And so, you know, I heard Taffy Dollar talk the other day. I just happened to see her, and I tuned in. She was talking about giving with the right motive. And I thought, wow, I mean, that definitely was a great sermon. She was stepping in the right direction about the motive. What's the motive of your heart? Why do you do things for God? Why do you do things for other people? Just because you want something, you're trying to get something, or do you love people? But Creflo is real big with the words of your mouth and how you create things with your mouth, and you better be careful what you say, and then they're beating you over the head that, you know, you have to give 10%, otherwise you're cursed. And, you know, they don't read their Bibles, because if they really read their Bibles, they would know what the Bible really says, but they get into these movements, and they don't really study. Because if they really studied the Word of God, that's what helped me come out of the mess, is when I really started reading the Word and letting that Word wash me. I saw that stuff wasn't true. It didn't line up with Scripture. So if Creflo Dahl would really sit down and get a good King James Bible and wash his head out from some of these New Age translations that he's been reading, I think he could come out of it.
Yeah, exactly. I like to see one of those people come out of it. I'm an underdog person. I watch football games, and if somebody's down, I'm going for them. And if those persons start taking the lead, I'd go for the other team. But I've always been an underdog person. I love underdog stories, and I know that's a messed up way to put it. They're underdogs. Yeah, I kind of look at them as being they're blind. So once
I agree.
You know, and as far as Paul, when Paul had the scales over his eyes and they were, you know, they were removed, God did a mighty work in them. So maybe one of these days that they can see, you know, and change and do great exploits for the Lord. You know?
Oh, it would be wonderful. It would be wonderful because, you know, God's given us the opportunity ourselves to be on the radio, to be on Blog Talk Radio, and to have a voice to the world that we couldn't have on Christian radio, probably, maybe, or Christian television. And so God's given us this opportunity to be able to preach the gospel and to preach it freely, and how good God is to let us have that. So who knows if these people aren't listening. Like I said, here's somebody from World Changers Church on my website reading what I have to say. So hopefully
awesome.
The truth, you know, the truth will make them free.
Yes, indeed. Well, we got a few minutes. Let's talk about the end time probably. I know it's kind of like, it's so broad, but I want to just do a little synopsis of your last show on prophecy.
On the show I did yesterday?
Yeah,
when I was talking a lot about the food, the GMO food, and the cloning, and I also see that you're going to have the person on from the We Kill Children website.
Yeah.
I've also been talking about the vaccinations.
Wow,
and how the vaccinations contain aborted babies.
Yes.
And how it has must have a definite link to autism and ADD because of the fact that they're injecting babies with murdered children. So,
wow.
Yeah. Why? Yeah, then why? Of course it's going to drive somebody crazy.
Yeah. Why would they do that though? I don't get it. Why would they? I mean, because I haven't too much read on that. Why would they inject? I mean, is it to just kill the people or what? I mean, I don't get it.
They're wicked. I mean, number one,
I know that.
Evil. Number two, but because why do people take innocent children and inject them full of mercury and aluminum and then aborted babies, which they started this cell line back in the 60s when abortion was legalized. And most people don't know it. You don't hear too many people. I never hear anybody on Christian TV talking about it. I notified John Hagee. I notified Rod Parsley. I notified TBN. I notified the 700 Club. Many, many ministries I called and notified about it, but I thought they're always saying they're against abortion and how we have to go to Washington and we have to do this and we have to do that, but yet they don't want to talk about this. They don't want to talk about, why don't they want to talk about it? Children are suffering from autism and from ADD. It's doing brain damage to children. And they're saying they're trying to find a cure. They want to find a cure when they're the ones that are causing it.
Yeah. It's sort of like they do that. That's a problem reaction solution. They create a problem and then they get you all wrapped up. And, you know, cheerleader. Let's go get the terrorists.
Yeah. Then they
already have the solution there for you.
And then they're raising billions of dollars. They're going to try to find a cure for autism.
Yeah.
It's like, I can tell you why, for the most part, there is such a thing, why children are bringing brain damage, because you're injecting them with aborted babies. So,
yeah. Or even when they don't promote, you know, just get on the TV and tell us not to drink this nasty water that comes out the tap water. And that's drained with a lot of different chemicals that they, you can kill a, kill a goat if you give them enough.
It's amazing how we live. There was a study that was done. I have the information up on my website. How there was never any autism found in children that were never vaccinated. These were the children of the Amish, I think.
Wow.
They're not vaccinated and there's no autism. So
Why
aren't these studies being publicized?
Because they don't want to.
But thank God that God has given us a voice and the truth is going to get out there. It's going to get out there to the masses and it's going to help people. So.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you so much, sister, for being on the show. I want to get you for like 2 hours if you can put up with it.
I would love to.
That'd be awesome.
Anytime.
We got so much to talk about. It's almost like, wow. And all the and most of the guys, the rest of the guys I have on the show tonight, I'm like, wow, this is crazy. I wish I could have like 8 hours.
I know.
Yes, we will.
Last
week, I'll be getting back with you. I would like to do a 2-hour show pretty soon, pretty quick.
Okay.
Do a 2-hour show.
Yeah,
okay,
that'll
God bless
be fun.
You. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Phil. God bless you too.
Bye-bye. God bless you too. Bye.
Bye.
That's an awesome interview. We're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back, and we're going to have our second guest. We'll be back.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord."
You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same? Because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey, everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone. For the little thing to go off on the dashboard. It kind of took a little hesitation, but we're back. We got a wonderful guest. And I'd like to thank Susan for coming by once again. That was awesome. I'd like to get her back. And I'd like to get all these guys back for 2 hours each. They're awesome. I have Phoenix from Watchmen Chronicles. Awesome interview the last show. And we're going to be talking about, just let the Lord lead us into what we're going to be talking about. I'm going to bring him on right now.
How's it going, Phoenix? Phil?
How you doing, bro?
Oh, I am just doing amazing, sir. How was your Sunday?
Pretty good. How was yours?
Oh, just amazing. I actually got to do my first sermon today, and it went really well, and people were gobbling up that word.
Praise God.
Hey, I just want to make a quick comment on the last guest you had.
Yeah.
I just had a newborn baby about 8 weeks old, and he is unvaccinated and eats nothing but organic milk with spring water mixed with together.
Wow.
So he's off to a good start.
Yeah.
And that is true what she commented about the Amish, too. Yeah, the Amish community never gets autism. So I just want to. She definitely sounded like she knew what she was talking about.
Oh yeah,
great guest.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to start off with a quick comment. A little quote from Alan Watt, who is a British news journalist. The Anglo-American establishment, which is Britain and the U.S., wrote about a culture they wanted to design over 100 years ago. H.G. Wells spoke of it. Also, arenas could be put up across the world for adults for entertainment. At that time, sports was for children, and adult sporting entertainment was unheard of. Of course, sports culture for the males. We are all a little tribal to an extent. That's why we vote for a tribal leader. Therefore, the average man is dislocated from his destiny, and the expert class would rise, because the average male would have an outlet. If they had a tribal team they could be a part of, and they could cheer them on and feel fulfilled, then his regular life could be virtually meaningless and go nowhere, because he can become disenfranchised. And let the experts take over and let the decision making be made for them. Of course, this was all planned before the arenas went up. When radio came around, they used it for a maximum. Sports for for the men and soaps for the women. The television came around in the 50s and 60s. It really took off. Every Saturday night, men were glued to their television sets to watch nightly sports. People today still think that entertainment is simply that, just entertainment. Unfortunately, that has never been the case. The greatest social messages are provided through movies and dramas. By using a sequence of emotional images, it is imperative for that reason to set the scene where reasoning is then bypassed. And when you're being downloaded by fictional programming, the sensory part of your brain that is for logic is then bypassed. In a breakdown, television programs are simply that, mental and emotional programming. Essentially, you can then change a nation's way of thinking if everyone is getting the same uploads or updates. Today, we call this political correctness, where everyone wants to be part of the same peer group. They want to be the same as everyone else when it comes to their opinions. In fact, they judge their own personal sanity by bouncing their ideas off their neighbors and peers. It doesn't matter if the opinion is fact or if it's fiction, as long as everyone agrees on the same thing. They will think they're sane and they will fit into their norm, but unfortunately, they have all been programmed.
Wow.
Thought that was quite a statement ever since the TV out. So everyone that thinks that entertainment is just entertainment, they got another thing coming because the elitists have purposely put together televisions for a reason.
Yes.
They're to upload, if you will, your programming. That's why they're called TV. That's why they're called TV programs.
Mm-hmm.
Now you told me you wanted to talk about the Obama administration.
Well, where are you going right now? Just keep going. we can get there.
Okay, well, I'm going to jump right into it. And I wanted to read that first. But I do. I will make a quick comment. G. Edward Griffin said the idea of making Obama a celebrity is so critical that people will be distracted on what he's wearing instead of what he's doing. Edward Bernays, a famous propagandist, said if you institute an authoritative figure who repeats the same phrases over and over, it would appeal to the subconscious desires. Just like he says, yes, we can. The brainwashed masses will helplessly go along with the phrases. And that was written a long time ago. Okay, so they've been studying this for a while. Now, I just want to make a comment that I'm not sure if it's been done, but we need to go ahead and put a submittal through to try President Obama for treason. The UN, he is now sitting on the UN Security Council. He is now a chief of the Security Council of the UN. He holds the highest position of the UN. Okay? Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution states, no title of nobility shall be granted by the United States, and no person holding any office of profit or trust under them shall, without the consent of Congress, except of any present, emolent, office or title of any kind whatsoever from any king, prince, or foreign state. That means our president has now sold himself out to a foreign government, to a foreign entity. So now he can be tried for treason. No, there's a reason why no other American president has ever sat on the UN, because it's illegal.
Yeah.
So that's just for starters. Yes. Obama.
Well, they.
Go on.
Since 9/11, since 2001, I believe that we've been programmed to look the other way. I mean by that is that we're being more taught 1984 than ever before. You know, like we were talking about last time, we were saying, you know, good is bad, red is black, hot is cold. And, you know, and also look the other way. And those two don't really draw parallel, but when you say, they have already started in the 90s to sell us divorce. They have already sold us that a long time ago, even in your normal cities, when they have bulletin boards, that says get a divorce for $200. But nowadays they're doing other things, like they're passing legislation, and like you say, they're looking at what color. Oh, he so looks so nice. He looks so nice on TV.
I wouldn't be surprised if eventually they start offering tax credits for abortions.
Oh yeah, it's like tax credits for kids, like $1,000 per kid. Now you get $1,000 per kid of abortion. That's gonna really mess a woman up when she tries to have her the real baby.
Exactly. Now I got something a little out of this world to present to the people today. Something that people don't normally hear about Obama. Okay. Now I started studying this when Obama was running for office. Then I kind of put it down for a while. I stopped talking about it, but picked it up again. I said this would be something really cool to present to Phil's show. I want to talk about the three dimensions of Ericksonian trance induction. Okay, what it is, it's called conversational hypnosis. It's also called black ops hypnosis. Okay.
Right.
Now, there's three dimensions of Dr. Ericksonian, right? Dr. Erickson was the founder of hypnosis, just about. I mean, he is the leading leader of hypnosis. So what he did was he put together three dimensions of Ericksonian trance induction, and they are pacing and distraction of the dominant language hemisphere, number two, utilization of the dominant hemisphere, language processing, which occurs below the level of awareness, and number three, accessing of the non-dominant hemisphere. Now, essentially, conversational hypnosis allows users to gain control of their subject's mind through spoken word and literally get them to do as they wish. Now, most people think of hypnosis as a stare at a watch. Now, this is they've now taken the next step, and someone can be having a conversation with you, and you can literally be hypnotized, really, really out of this world. Now, essentially, the English language has various emotional triggers and tones which can be utilized to induce people into a trance. When people are in such a trance, it is possible to alter their views and control their actions. Okay?
Yeah.
Hypnosis-type mental pressure has been held by the Supreme Court of the United States to be so unduly influential as to deprive someone of their fundamental rights. The U.S. Supreme Court case was Lara versus Dino. Argued April 28, 1954, decided June 1, 1954, after police questioned a suspect day and night, unable to obtain a confession, a hypnotist tried and did successfully get the suspect to confess. He hypnotized him. The legal battles over whether the confession was voluntary or not, undue influence or not, went all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States, which decided that his confession could not be used as evidence against him, because he wasn't consciously under his own free will. Now you say that. Now you hear that we have free will. When hypnotism comes into place, there is no longer free will. In a nutshell, pacing and leading is using hypnosis to bypass the critical factor. By bypassing the cognitive functions that would normally critically analyze and scrutinize information, the hypnotist tricks the patient's subconscious mind into accepting external information from the hypnotist into the subconscious as a hypnotic suggestion as absolutely true. It is more powerful implant of information than even the subject can usually communicate to themselves with his or her own thoughts. Now, Dr. Erickson discovered that through pacing, a hypnotist could neutralize the filter of a person's critical factor so he can slip suggestions past the critical factor into the subconscious. For some examples, one is, that's why I stand here tonight. This is an Obama, this is a phrase that Obama spoke. That's why I stand here tonight, because for 232 years at each moment, when that promise was in jeopardy, ordinary men and women, students and soldiers, farmers and teachers, nurses and janitors found the courage to keep it alive. The second example is the fundamentals we use to measure economic strength or whether we are living up to that fundamental promise that has made this country great, a promise that is the only reason I am standing here tonight. Did that make sense to you?
Nope.
No, it didn't. No. Because it was a pacing and leading statement. Nothing to do with making sense. What he's doing is he's setting up with truce so he can break down. What he's going to do is he's going to keep giving you truce so he can break down your subconscious layer that filters out things that you would normally not bypass. Your subliminal wall comes down, and then you can then be slipped in with a subliminal thought. And here's another one. Here's another statement. But I stand before you tonight. What is that? That's a truth. Because all across America, something is stirring. What the naysayers don't understand is that this election year has never been about me. It's about you. In the same speech, Obama says, now it's the time, 6 times throughout. While his phrase is apparent, it sounds to everyone like just his power phrase or theme for that speech. One example, now is the time to end this addiction and understand that drilling is a stopgap measure, not a long-term solution, not even close. Now is the time to finally meet our moral obligation, blah, 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 blah. Now is the time to finally keep the promise of affordable, acceptable health care. Now is the time to help families with paid sick days. Now is the time to change our bankruptcy laws, blah, 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 blah. And now is the time to keep the promise of equal pay for an equal day's work. You see where I'm going with this?
These are
Obama's speeches. These are speeches. This is a speech he did, I believe, in Denver. So what he's doing is he's pacing and leading. Now, we know that now is the time. Well, that's a no-brainer. Of course it's the time. But what he's setting up is truth. The more truth he slips in, you'll see where I'm going here in a second.
I was listening to George Bush, his second inaugural speech, and Alex Jones, I don't know if it was Alex Jones or somebody, I'm pretty sure it was Alex Jones and a few more other guys, were trying to count the times he's used the word freedom, peace. He would use freedom like 300,000 times, and it's
right.
Like freedom. Peace, freedom, freedom, peace, freedom, freedom.
And what
freedom,
he was doing was he was using Edward Bernays' statement, if you institute an authoritative figure who repeats the same phrases over and over, it will appeal to your subconscious desires. So it'll actually take over what you actually believe to be true. Now that isn't necessarily hypnotism like this is. That is just straight propaganda. There's a little bit of a difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me go into this real quick. I got a really nice little finale at the end. It is no coincidence that he happens to use these phrases that are subconscious pacing statements because they are immediately and verifiably true by their most simplistic terms, and cause the subconscious to accept the hypnotist as a source for such absolute truth. Obama also says essentially this moment 5 times, serving the same pacing purpose. We meet at these are some examples. We meet at one of those defining moments, pause, a moment when our nation is at war, our economy is in turmoil, and the American promise has been threatened once more. Okay? That's when he threw in this moment, or a moment. This moment, pause, this election, pause, is our chance to keep, in the 21st century, the American promise alive. Okay? You have shown what history teaches us, that at defining moments like this one, which is a truth statement, it's a pacing statement, America, this is one of those moments, pacing statement, at this moment, in this election, we must pledge once more to march into the future. Notice how for each instant, without exception, he has words before and after moment to make it absolutely, immediately, and verifiably true, such as we meet at, or this election, moments like this one, or this is one of those moments. The notion that is all also a coincidence is absurd. This is carefully crafted, hidden, hypnotic pacing, and this is only the beginning. Obama puts these 14 pacing hypnotic language patterns into his speech, knowing them to be part of a hypnotic trance induction. It is not just the way he talks, nor coincidence. Okay? How Ericksonian linking statements mimic the way the brain accepts information. Now we did pacing, now we're going to do linking. After pacing you repeatedly in multiple ways and on multiple levels as described above, and thus lowering your cognitive critical factor defenses, just like we were talking about with the TV, the hypnotist will implant a lead, the command or absolute unquestionable truth he places in your subconscious. Essentially, the pace or truth is connected to the new hypnotic message or lead using connected or linking language. Paces are connected to the lead through the use of the linking words including and, as, and because, or that is why. How many times does Obama say, and that is why, right? The latter linking words, each because increasingly more powerful than the former, especially the ones containing an element of causation, because the causation mirrors the way the subconscious mind accepts information. Saying, for one example, we need change, and that is why I will be your next president, is a basic pace and lead. You understand? No person can disagree with we need change. Change is inevitable anyway, certainly when problems exist. However, the fact that change will happen or that we need change has absolutely nothing to do with being a valid reason why the choice for president should be none other than Barack Obama. But he doesn't want you to think that, of course. Logically, there is no connection at all between change and why he should be our president. Same when Obama describes how bad the economy is and how bad government is, and then follows with, and that is why I want to be your next president. Well, that doesn't make any sense, does it?
No.
When he has only listed problems, the logical derivative is only that someone who is good at solving those problems should be president. But he has not made any logical argument as to why it should be him. As a Harvard attorney, Obama knows clearly that his speeches have faulty logic. But the use of these words as hypnotic linking statements is your subconscious connects an absolute truth you believe deeply from a now trusted source of absolute truths to a new message that has slipped past the critical factor because it comes from the same trusted source using the fundamental way your brain understands information. Now the subject walks away believing we need change, therefore we need Obama. It doesn't matter whether the cause and effect linking statement has any truth or logical connection to it. Now, remember what I spoke about before, that people will bounce opinions off people. It doesn't matter if it's fact or not, but they just want to be accepted. Do you remember that statement?
Mm-hmm.
So that ties directly into hypnosis. It works because it links statements that subjects know subconsciously to be true with statements from the hypnotist that the hypnotist tricks the subconscious mind to believe are connected and thus also absolutely true at the subconscious level, even though they could just be a load of garbage.
Okay. Yeah.
You hear where I'm going with it? Obama's speeches as one big hypnotic trance induction using extra slow speech, rhythm, tonalities, vagueness, visual imagery, metaphor, and raising of emotion. He does all of those things to get people to get hypnotized. It's actually not just his speech, it's the way he presents it.
Yes.
Now, there was a thing where he actually was putting his fingers together, like he was and he was pointing it into the air with his, just like how you write with a pen. And that was a hypnotic suggestion because when people go into the voting booth, they'll remember him pointing that and they'll automatically think, I need to vote for him because I have my hand written the same way. It's actually a hypnotic suggestion.
Yeah.
And he does tons of things like this.
That is true. Most of the time, gestures in the political arena, even back in the 60s, was very important. I was watching a movie, and I think it was John F. Kennedy. It was somebody, and they were trying to school an individual on how to make proper gestures to the government.
Yeah, and it's also used a lot in sales, too.
Yeah, yeah. And if you don't make this right gesture, you're not gonna please the queen of, Quartaria. You know, you gotta make the right gesture. So nowadays, though, they have entered into the psychological realm. Now, I know this is a Christian program, but the Bible speaks about the mind. The Bible says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Even the devil knows plays on words. And in the garden, he played on words. When Jesus was led up in the mountains by the Spirit, the devil played on words. So what did Jesus say? It is written, it is written, it is written. But what goes on in the subliminal field, the war, the Bible says that the war is not, it's in the air. You know, it talks about that, and I think it's first. Somebody help me out there. 1 Corinthians 9:5. It says, "Our weapons, the weapons of this warfare, not carnal, but mighty, by the pulling down the stronghold." But the battle is in the mind, and the Bible says, "What a man thinketh, so is he." So if the devil can have President Obama or any other politician have a play on words, or play with your affections. And what do you want? What do you want? He's going to repeat it over and over again. You know, he's going to. Right. You know, you want like even Sears or General Motors or McDonald's, whoever wants to sell a product, will tell you over and over again, and they will use a play on words.
Yep. It's used in sales. It's used in politics. And now, Paul wasn't kidding when he said that the war. Is in our minds, and that we need to guard our minds fully, because not only are we being hypnotized, we're also there's also not that I want to get too off subject on this before I finish, but there's also a government project called Project Bluebeam, okay, and that's a project where they can subliminally plant messages in your head.
Yeah.
They can put phrases of any kind they want, and you'll hear it like it's your own conscious. And I think that's going to happen more and more, that you're going to, I believe it also has to do with visual effects as well. I don't know a ton about it, but I have heard a lot of things about it. And that's, the more and more we're going to have to be wearing the armor of God as much as we can, because it's going to be a war for our minds.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, the devil's already intensified. He only have a short time anyway. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Romans 6:23
says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio. Join me, Phil Armstrong, on Blog Talk Radio as we discuss end time events, the mind of Jesus Christ, second coming, earthquake, pestilence, the mark of the beast technology, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the dividing of Jerusalem, and much more. Join us for our action-packed information that will keep you informed so you can be ready for the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, join us on Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I'm back. We're back. I want to address the people in the chat room, brothers and sisters in the chat room. I have no idea. I'm sort of getting my website together, and that would have been a nice place for somebody to go to listen to it. But I have the same problem with my computer. I got a computer with like 3 screens on it right now, and I'm just looking dead at the chat room, and I have the same message. But you might have to download a special program, and I forgot. It's Adobe Flash Player. So I'm not sure, but my chat room still ended up working. So So it still gave me the message, but I just kept something happened in my computer where it just boom, it still the chat room still comes on. So try to listen to the program. I don't even know. I don't know what's going on. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. But I want to go ahead and finish up with Brother Phoenix right here. You want to keep going there, or you want to change?
Yeah, let me finish up on what we were talking about. Let's do a quick summary. We talked about, for those that maybe just joined us just now, we're talking about how Obama uses conversational hypnosis, also called black ops hypnosis, to get people to, no matter if they don't even care about what he's saying or they disagree, he drops their subliminal wall and then uses a pacing, and then a lead to follow through with the hypnosis. Now we're going to continue on. Everyone knows that the sensation of hanging on Obama's every word as he speaks, it is no accident. In fact, Obama intends to speak in such a way that it is almost impossible to listen at all without hanging on his every word. You notice how slow he talks when he speaks?
Oh, yeah.
His unnaturally slow, rhythmical 4 to 8 word phrases with huge pauses are delivered to be complete ideas by themselves on some level, even though only part of a sentence or complete thought. He is sensitive to exactly how to speak to fixate your attention based on his understanding of hypnosis.
Yeah.
Now, Obama's speeches often use an unnaturally slow language to start. Unnaturally slow speech is a common hypnotic technique in order to allow the subject time to respond to suggestions. Imagine the images and feel sensations conjured by the hypnotist. The unnaturally slow speech holds focus intensely because the mind waits for new input and is, in meanwhile, left analyzing what has just been heard. Now, absorbing attention is about making sure people's thoughts are what you sent for them. The intense focus of the conscious mind frees the subconscious mind to act beyond normal constraints of what the conscious mind thinks is real or normal or proper. So he still speaks like that, as we've noticed.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know any other speaker that speaks like that. And that's one thing I picked up right on before I even read the book on hypnosis, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Right away, when I started reading, the only way you can combat what he's saying for you not to be hypnotized is to immediately start questioning what he's saying and trying to rationalize. That's the only way you won't get the hypnosis message or automatically disagreeing and then bring up your critical factor and try to analyze it. So whenever I hear an Obama speech, I'll always automatically disagree just so I don't get hypnotized into believing automatically, if that makes sense.
Well, I don't think, especially now, I mean, I'm not trying to be funny or nothing, but I don't think he's a lot less effective than he was in the first couple of months.
He's losing popularity.
Yeah, exactly. Let me apologize. I don't know if y'all, do you hear my kid in the back?
I'm sorry. No, for a brief second. That's okay.
He's throwing a temper tantrum, but I don't.
Yeah, I can't even hear it at all.
Okay, that's good. Okay. President Obama is gifted in speaking. And sometimes I don't see a teleprompter. Sometimes I do. But the thing is that I'm actually inside of the camera, so it's impossible for me to know if there's a teleprompter there or not. But
I got a video of when he broke one.
Oh yeah.
And the video panned down and you could see his speech being laid out right in front of him.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good video.
Yeah, that's funny right there.
And then Joe Biden came out and they made fun of him. He said that our president needs a teleprompter.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Remember George Bush's box in the back of his shirt, suit? That was the funniest thing in the world, man. They had a lot of cartoon jokes about that, about George Bush's teleprompter. They had a little box. I guess he was wired, the microphone went behind his ear to tell him what to say. Yeah, they actually caught that on camera. But I understand what you're saying about the subliminal message. I've always believed that. I mean, that's something. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people probably come in and listen to the show, and they probably say, man, what the heck are they talking about? I thought this was a Christian program. But you got to be aware mm-hmm. of this, because a lot of people, a lot of Christians voted for President Obama, believe it or not.
Right, and they did, so even if they didn't believe what he talked about.
Yeah, and the Bible talks about having confidence in the arm of man. And when you start looking at these politicians and they're trying to, you know, you think you're looking for your next savior every time. We're looking for, and I love Martin Luther King, so I'm not talking bad about him, but I'm saying we always looking for the next Martin Luther King. Just like everybody's looking for the next Michael Jordan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants the next, you know, savior. I mean, Jesus is the only the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. So
nowadays, the only savior that won't get shot is Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly.
If you're
a savior, and
you're going to speak out, you're in trouble, unless you're Jesus.
Yes, yes, indeed. I would like to have you on again for another two hours. In the near future, I'm trying to work it out, but I'm really impressed by both you and Susan. You're my first guest, and she's my second, so I'm pretty much impressed by y'all, and I'm pretty sure I'm gonna be impressed by the next guest. But I'd love to have you on over time. I'll give you a schedule if you can, and you can tell me yay or nay, and then I'll just redo the schedule or whatever suits you.
Yeah, that sounds good. I want to make one quick comment before we move on. The stacking of hypnotic language patterns in 40-minute long speeches is something that's out of the norm as well. Now, typically, most political speeches are only 20 to 30 minutes at max. Obama speaks for 40 to 50 minutes when he was doing his campaign, at least. That's why, because he had the more time a hypnotist has to build and stack upon his truce on his pacing, the easier it is to hypnotize somebody. And that's all I wanted to say about that. We can move on, but I just thought that was a very interesting subject.
This is what I need you to do, brother. I need you to go ahead and do me a favor and let's pick a subject. Let's talk about. Do you know anything about 2012?
Yes, I know a lot about 2012.
Okay, let me hear your intake, but here's the deal. I want you to go ahead and start talking for about 3 or 4 minutes, and then you kind of like taking over the show for about 3 or 4 minutes, and then I'll be right back. So just go ahead and start. I'm gonna mute myself.
Okay, all right. 2012, here's the deal with 2012. On my show on the Watchmen Chronicles, basically, the first show I did was on the Fallen, right? And I spoke of giants that in Genesis 6:2, the sons of God came down and slept with the daughters of men. Now, what their offspring, okay, it was giants because they were hybrids. Okay, giants were in the earth in those days, Genesis 6 talks about. Well, giants, I don't have time to get into what, you just have to check out the show. There's endless debates, but you know what? Read your Bible and go to God and ask him, is this true? You know, take it up with God. But there's so many things that point that it's true. I did two entire shows on it, on archaeological study finds and everything. But let's move on. So there were giants in the earth in those days, right? Well, the closer the giants were in the bloodline to their original fathers, the more powers they had, okay? There's literally stories all over the world where these giants lived in the land, especially from Indian tribes. An Indian tribe in America had a story where these giant creatures that were human-like, that had red hair, most of them do have red hair, usually double rows of teeth, six fingers on each hand. They said that these things were literally throwing lightning and that they were exceedingly strong, immensely strong, almost like, that's pretty much where Hercules came from. Almost all mythology was literally giants. They were actually real people, and I did that on an entire show, too. I'm not going to really get into that. But anyways, Tower of Babel happened. People separated, and they spread out throughout the earth. So did the giants, okay? There was a giant colony that went on a ship, okay, and they made it to the Mayan territory. And there was actually, I believe, only two giants. There was some kind of battle that was in the Mayan story, and there was only, I believe, like two giants that lived. The one giant they revered as their god, his name was Quetzalcoatl, okay? Now, Quetzalcoatl supposedly could throw, apparently could throw lightning, and he was pretty much their sun god, and they pretty much took the worshiping of Nimrod, which was also a giant back in the day, and they changed it and started worshiping this thing. So, Quetzalcoatl, the story goes, was he ruled over them for many years, and a time came, most likely when the Book of Enoch talks of when Archangel Michael and Uriel and Raphael and I think Fanuel and Gabriel bound up these angelic creatures and tossed them into the abyss or bound them into the pit. So Quetzalcoatl told his people that he was God over, supposedly, that he would return in 2012. Okay? Now, the reason why he said he was in 2012, I have a feeling maybe he had some foreknowledge, but I believe that Quetzalcoatl left and then was bound by Archangel Michael and most likely Gabriel and whoever with the rest of the abominations, right? So whether this Quetzalcoatl is going to come back in 2012, I'm not sure, but if you notice, they are building up on this UFO thing. There's a lot of major people are coming out that really think the UFO is about to make contact with men.
What?
And all they are the sons of God coming down.
Yeah, exactly.
Building on that, they basically used to be the sons of God. Now they're just demons.
Yeah. I'm sticking out of ignorance because I didn't hear the whole thing. But as far as the Bible is concerned, the Bible talks about and he, meaning in Thessalonians, it talks about and he should send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, the lie is left up to speculation, but when Jesus said just in the days of Noah, just before, if you read chapter 6, they talk about the sons of men coming and having, repopulating.
I covered that, yep.
Yeah, and when that happened, that was just before Noah. So before Noah went on the ark. So there's going to be some, and I know how certain people out there feel about the rapture of the church, but this is just my belief. And I know people are kind of touchy-touchy. Christians are kind of touchy-touchy in the UFO thing, but I'm to a point where I 100%, 110% believe with brother saying about the demons. These are demons fooling the world population into believing that the UFOs took the Christians. Now, I know some, like I say, I know you, brother, as far as your view on the rapture, I want to do a show on that, too.
Me
and you. But,
absolutely. And I do want to make a quick comment on that, too, building on that. I believe that these UFOs are going to come down, and they're going to do they're going to use Project Bluebeam, right? I believe to make a mock rapture, okay, in the sky, with something to do with fire calling down from heaven, okay?
And I think
people are going to think that it's the rapture, and that people are going to be really disappointed because they're going to be like, well, why didn't I get raptured?
Yeah, okay? See, I'm completely opposite. I believe there will be a rapture. I believe that God will take the people out. And these guys' intentions might have been to do that, but they're like, "Oh crap!"
I think this is actually going to be before the tribulation period.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. But we'll see what happens. Supposedly, that's what a lot of people feel. You know, I am a pre-millennialist, and I do feel that the rapture is at the end of time. But, you know, everyone has there are four different doctrines on the rapture.
I'm not gonna split the church off the rapture though.
Right. But building on that, Quetzalcoatl, I don't think that 2012 is going to be the end of the world. I think we got another 20, 30 years.
Well, even if the tribulation period started then, even if it started this year, let's just say it started this year. Let's just for old sake, let's just say Jesus did come back and he did take the church out, and the tribulation period did start in 2010 in September. Now, the tribulation period in Daniel chapter 9 it still wouldn't be 2012 because the tribulation period has to last 7 years. It overlaps 2012.
Plus, we still got to have a World War III that's been prophesied about by so many different people, which is probably going to take years, you know. So I really do think that we got at least 20 more years before all this goes down. I think that America in itself has a couple years before judgment comes upon it. Hopefully. I mean, I'd like to see my kid grow up and you know, believe Jesus Christ is his savior right after he gets ready to walk, and I hope that all of a sudden America doesn't fall, you know. That would be that'd be really bad. So I keep praying for more time, and that's what we should all be doing, is in a relationship with God.
And
getting into our prayer closets and really just praying for this country, because we're going to need it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not so much the priest of God's going to say, look at me, I've got a ministry, I'm preaching to 1 million people or even 50 people, but it's to preach because you know the price that Jesus Christ paid to keep people out of the hell. He spoke more about hell than he spoke about anything but heaven. And that's the thing that many people misunderstand, is that Jesus spoke more about hell. And hell is hot. I can get into, and I know y'all can think I'm kind of weird when I say this, but I can get to a shower and if the water is too hot, I'm like, oh, shoot. Whoa. I mean, and I think about hell and I'm like, man, I am not going to hell. When I get in, I mean, it's not, and then when I was in Qatar in the military, when the war, you know, when we was running the R&R program, actually, when the war was over, and it got like 150 degrees outside, and I'm like, I am not going to hell for nobody. So let me get myself right with God. So
absolutely.
Jesus spoke more about hell. He didn't want anybody to go to hell. He knows you're in hell for eternity. There's no such thing as. It's no such thing as break time. Everybody take a break. Drink some water. There is no water in hell. Ask the rich you ruler. So let's change the subject.
Well, real quick, I want to get on the 2012 movie. I just want to make a couple comments that now the way the movie portrayed it was solar rays coming off the sun. Now, that is probably going to happen. The Bible does talk about a the sun's going to get 7 times hotter, and then it's also going to nova, and then it's going to go out at some point in time. So, but I don't think it's anytime soon, and I wouldn't get all worked up over movies.
Exactly. And those movies are sort of really great and graphic. But
I do want to say to the people, I do want to say that people, if there is a mock return of Jesus, okay, Jesus said in the Bible that you will know when I return. Now, I personally believe that you will know that he's returning because everything is being consumed. Personally, that's me. But you're going to know whether someone ain't going to run into the room and say Jesus is returning. You're going to know, and you're going to every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. So just wanted to add that in before we move on, just so people don't get brainwashed by the government if they do try to throw some kind of rapture hoax. So, but I do got a couple comments on the Obama administration, because I know you wanted to touch on that, other than the hypnosis, if I can.
Okay.
Obama promised on campaign that he would do away with signing statements. If people don't know what signing statements are, they're basically they can write in on the bill whatever they want over top of Congress, and it doesn't even matter. So they could potentially write in anything they want. Obama promised, I'm going to get away from signing statements. And sure enough, you hear on the news, Obama signing his first signing statement. That's interesting. Obama promised he would do away with torture and close down Guantanamo Bay. Didn't happen. And they are sending more people to Guantanamo Bay, which, by the way, people are most likely non-terrorists. I don't believe there's a terrorist in that place. It's just people, whoever they need to take care of, probably from other countries, torture them and get whatever information they want to know. Don't ever believe everything your government tells you. You always must question and find out the truth for yourself. Now, Obama also promised to end the war. Well, we've now doubled our troops, I believe, and then what, added another country? Obama promised to downsize government and decrease its power. Bush doubled government during his term. Obama, in his 1 year, I think quadrupled what Bush had. At least doubled it. Obama promised to give 5 days in advance to give citizens time to read the new bills. Now the whole bill isn't even on the table when they go to vote on it. You can hear endless reports of congressmen saying, you know, there's 300 other pages to this bill. Do we get a copy of this bill before we vote on it? No, because they don't want you to see the other 300 pages of the bill.
Or they have printed at nighttime, like at 3 o'clock at night in the morning, so they can't
read. Right, and believe that those bills are pre-written 6 months in advance at least, because they want to make sure everything's in there that they want to put in there. They'll act like they wrote it a week before, you know?
Yeah.
And Obama promised to not hire any lobbyists. His entire cabinet is nothing but corporate lobbyists, okay?
Yes, exactly.
That's all they are, is for big corporation, and that's it. Obama promised to get rid of... warrantless wiretapping. Didn't happen either. So he does a lot of promising, and so far he hasn't came through with anything except for bankrupt our government.
What do you call somebody like that? A politician?
I call them a terrorist. I call them a traitor.
A treason, yeah. Treason is terrorist. Yeah, when you reenlist in the military, I reenlisted about 3 or 4 times, and then it says you promise to defend the Constitution against enemies, both foreign and domestic. We got less, and the people probably out there probably look at me crazy when I say this, but we got less, and I know a lot of Iran smackers and Iraq smackers, and we can't, you know, those type of people are probably going to look at me crazy when I say this, but we got less enemies. In another country than we do in our own Senate. I mean, if you look at it doctrinally, these guys are a mess, because a lot of these guys aren't going to tell you what they actually believe, but they actually believe in the destruction of the United States. That's why you can't. Me and my cousin used to wonder, you know, in my 40-ounce drinking days, we used to sit on the porch of this porch and wonder why in the world is a mess. And then when I got in the Army, I remember driving to the movies in a taxi cab, and this taxi cab driver kept going on and on and on and on about the New World Order. I wish you would just shut up. And like 10 years later, here I am working for Job Corps, and that's when I found all these books on the New World Order by Ralph Alperson and all these guys. And now I know that the New World Order is for real. That is a secret cabal of a small group of people who really run the world, and they want to destroy us. And they put out doctrine, and these globalists fund these organizations who put out doctrine to our schools and to our universities, and they mold and shape, and speak of what you were talking about as far as subliminal, they mold and shape their these men that they're going to use as puppets. To run the government for them.
Well, Obama's got that topped, because now he's setting up a civilian counterpart to our military forces, just like the Hitler Youth. The Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, and alike are being recruited for anti-terrorism drills. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Yeah, then they watch different movies and say, look at the neighbors. Look at the neighbors turning in each other. How dare they? But guess what they're going to be doing? They're going to be
killing them. Neighborhood watch program.
Close the curtains. You might want to close the curtains.
Here's the scariest one of them all. Obama has instituted something new called prolonged detention. Pre-crimes is when people are arrested for crimes they have not even yet committed.
Thought crimes.
Don't you think about that one? What movie was that? You're a sense of offender because you can feel.
Yeah. Or they let you go to the Super Bowl so they can scan your face about a million miles an hour and scan the whole crowd and say, ooh, there's a sexual predator. Let's get him. You know what I mean? Wow. How did you know it's in my face? Wow.
Right. And I just posted a news article on my Facebook page that was airport scanners that scan and can read your mind that they're thinking about instituting in. So not only are they going to be able to scan you naked, they're going to read your mind while you're walking through the airport as well. Believe the technology is here, people. Remember, our government always has 50 years in advance on top of the technology of what we even know of.
Oh, wow. Well, brother, I would love to get you back on the show again. We still got a couple more minutes. We got coming up next, we got WeKillChildren.org, wonderful website. Right on about abortion. So we're going to have him on in a little bit. And I love having you on, man. You're awesome.
I appreciate that. And folks can check me out at blogtalkradio/ Watchman Chronicles, too. You can email me. You got any questions? And if you guys want your hands on that that Obama book on hypnotism, I have it. I can email it to you or get it to you somehow if you want to read it. Really interesting stuff. Do you know that this is nothing but a plan of eugenics, and Satan is behind it all? So
yes.
We can name Obama all day long, but it's really the devil. So
yes, exactly. Thank you for being on the show. I'll be getting in contact with you, man, so we can do like 2 hours straight, or maybe even 3 hours, the whole 3 hours.
Get
you back up here. And then that time we do dialogue.
Yeah, absolutely.
And actually, you can also rant for about an hour. That's cool. And then we can do dialogue, whatever you want, man. Whatever God leads us.
Yeah, the problem is there's so much information to go through, you know. It's just building people up. We don't have enough time yet, folks. We don't have enough time left.
Yes, sir. All right, thank you very much, sir.
All right, Phil, email me. I'll talk to you soon. God bless.
All right, bro. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
That was awesome. I'm not in the chat room, so I apologize for that. I'm not anywhere near the chat room. The computer, I keep forgetting to run to make the computer so it won't go off when I'm not touching the mouse or anything, and I got to get to that tonight, probably actually this week sometime. But I'll be back. We'll be back, and we're going to come on with our next guest.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays, 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone.
Unblock Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same? Because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey, everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone. Good. We have an awesome night tonight. Our next guest is from WeKillChildren.org. I got .com wrote on the paper. I don't know why. I've been keeping an eye on this guy for a while. He was in the chat room one night, and was like looking at the name. I was like, wow, WeKillChildren. And I got mad at him. Like, what kind of name is that? And he said something in the chat room, and I was laughing about it. I was like, what kind of name is that? And I had to apologize to the brother once I went to his website, and I still kind of feel a little bad about it. But I think I butchered his name too, so I'm really on. I'm like strike three. I guess a couple more strikes. But Jeffrey Geibel, is that it? How are you pronouncing him?
That would be Guy Bell.
Okay. I'll apologize for that. Okay.
Well, no problem.
Welcome to the
show. I happen to be a high school teacher, and I've got my name butchered most of my time during the day, so I'm pretty used to it.
Yeah, okay.
But I definitely thank you for inviting me on.
Oh, man. I've been watching you for a while. I've been tracking you for a while, and I'm just glad to have you on. It's a blessing to have you on. Now, I like everybody to go to his website and check it out. It's very informative. His radio program, very informative. I can't say any more. It's just I'm happy that a brother is doing this. And I'm kind of walking on eggshells right now, because I want to get your side. Because I'm not going to really say too much, because I want to get not just on your show, but I want to get actually feeling when I'm talking to you, what's your take on the whole abortion area. So can we start off talking about your history a little bit?
Yeah, well, my own history as to why I am so focused on this has to do with probably with the change from me being pro-choice to pro-life, and then a change where I actually begin to care for the children within the womb. In college, I was pro-choice, and I had this class. It was a biology class, and they actually brought out jars that contained actual little children at all the different developmental stages. And it was when I saw those children that I had a very hard time saying, okay, the ones on the right we should protect, but the ones on the left we shouldn't. And it kind of shook me up a little bit, and it made me realize, you know what, intellectually at this point only, intellectually I thought, I can't maintain this pro-choice position. Those are little people.
Yeah.
And so from there, it was just head knowledge, though. That was just me having a change of mind. And at that point, I was now, as I think many people are, according to a current statistic, about half the population is currently pro-life. But I think they're kind of like pro-life like I was at that point, intellectually pro-life. When we think about it, you think, okay, those are little people. But it wasn't until I saw my own daughter on the ultrasound, and she was moving around in there, and I actually saw her kind of push off the side of my wife's uterus in there and kind of turn a little bit, and I could hear her heartbeat. And I actually, in that doctor's office, was kind of shocked, and I had a very, very big sense of compassion for these children. And it shocked me because these little guys, these little living little people, are literally sucked from the womb, limb from limb at that point. And see, I already knew that in my mind, but it was when I saw my daughter and I saw her moving around in there that it kind of all came together, and I began to actually care for these children.
This is a question that I'm pretty sure is on a lot of people's minds, but I want to know this first. I mean, between, and I think I know already, you already gave me the answer, but between you said something about the women's right versus the baby's right. Could you expand on that a little bit more? I mean, I'm trying to make a point, so.
Yeah, so if you go to my actual website, right there on the left-hand side, it says the argument. And if you click the argument, I've actually created an illustration, and there's a balance. And sitting on that balance on the left side, there's a pregnant mother. And on the right side, there's a child. And when we're thinking about this topic, I think we make a mistake if we overlook the mother. We must constantly keep in our mind the balance between the mother and the child. But within this balance, what's on the table in this conversation is a loss of rights. Someone's going to lose their rights. So on the left side, let's say the mother is sitting there, she's going to potentially lose her right to liberty. That is, if she doesn't want the child, she's going to be forced, that's the way some people would say it, forced to carry this child and have to deal with whatever comes along with that. But on the right-hand side of this balance, there's a child sitting there. And if that child loses the argument, then that child loses their right to life. And so we're balancing these two things. Definitely someone's going to lose their right. So we can't overlook the fact that a mother and a child is going to lose something. But I think when we think about the balance here, the right to life versus life to liberty, which is of greater value, I think that we must side on the child's right to life.
Yeah. Yeah, now, we want to make sure that the woman has better alternatives to not abort. I think society wants to take the easier road and just abort, but there are other measures. And it's a painful measure, which is to give your baby up for adoption. But I think for the baby's sake, we should think about things like that. Of course, 18 years down the line, you're gonna wonder where she's gonna come looking for you, he's gonna come looking for you, pretty much. And thank you for giving her up, or giving him up for adoption rather than killing the baby. I believe that in this ministry, God forgives those who make mistakes. And a lot of ladies are living with that for a while, even divorce. I mean, I'm kind of changing the subject, but even divorce, people who have had divorces, believe it or not, until they get married probably, or even after they get married, are having to live with past choices. And a lot of us are. So we need to make... going back to my first point, we need to make ways out for ladies besides just going out and having an abortion, because and I don't know where you're on at this one. I'm probably going to go down the wrong street on this one, but we give our babies up for the altar of I got to do something. I got to go to college, or I gotta you know, go to Zimbabwe or something like that. And we don't actually look at the Old Testament, but we're actually giving our child up for our own what we want to do. And I don't know if I'm going the wrong road with this one, but I really want to say that God forgives those who have had an abortion as long as you repent and say, I'm sorry, and I'm, you know, but it's going to live with you for the rest of your life unless God can truly cleanse that area. I'm not the guest on my own show, so I'm kind of like starting to rant. But anyway, I'm sorry, bro. I mean, you go ahead and let's talk about what are some options of, you know, that I mentioned one. What are some other options that can help a lady from not having an abortion?
Well, I think that some of the things you mentioned, adoption, there are excellent programs available, nonprofit organizations, crisis pregnancy centers are typically what they're called. And one of the ones I'm familiar with, which is local to my area, is called Alternate Avenues. And they offer assistance, financial assistance, counseling assistance. They give all kinds of assistance to mothers who are in a crisis pregnancy. That is a pregnancy either that they don't want or one that they cannot believe that they can sustain that pregnancy. And so there are some excellent organizations that are out there.
Yeah.
Any given time, though, a mother could bring that child to term and give it up for adoption. There are a lot of people that are looking for children that are, sorry if my computer goes out, but my battery just had a problem, I'm sorry. But there are a lot of people waiting to adopt children. A lot of people waiting to adopt children. A lot of people are waiting to get brand new babies. And so there is, my understanding, a waiting list for this very thing. So there really is a place for a mother that doesn't believe she can actually raise her child. And there are also programs that will really help mothers to support their children that do exist currently, run by nonprofit organizations, often Christian-based. So there is a lot of stuff out there that already exists to help these mothers.
Yeah. Now, I was kind of like reading the chat room. I apologize if I kind of like missed something. I really apologize deeply. But somebody had mentioned in the chat room, I was going to say that a long time ago. Of course I'm going to say abstinence. And I like what one of the brothers, Patriot Greg, says about the culture. And the culture is, heck, you can't escape from the culture unless you're totally numb and you Church of Laodicea. You can't figure that out. But sometimes in society, everybody's doing it, and the culture's doing it, so we become numb to divorce. We become numb to various other, you know, sex out of marriage. Things like that, we become numb. So abstinence is kind of like not an option for some of these people because they got to get their groove on. So we have to still present it as Christians. Now, a lot of Christians have made that mistake. I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of Christians have made that mistake to get their freak on early. And I'm sorry to use that word, but to get their groove on, I just use that one, early. And there's so many mistakes in the world, even in the non-Christian world, of course, that people regret. But abortion.
I could be wrong on this, but I feel like going in that direction, though it's a very relevant topic, it does take us away from the key idea which is happening in our society. And I believe that is that the child within the room, the womb, it does not have equal rights within the society. But more importantly, there's a reason for that. I don't think people see the child within the womb as an equal, and that child has no dignity and no respect. And so that people focus on the creating of that child rather than The fact of the matter is that if we had a culture that dignified the child and that child was equal, regardless of how that child came to be, and regardless of whether or not we succeed in transforming our culture into a more, just a better culture altogether, that child, though, no matter how it comes to be, needs to be protected. And so if the culture continues to have rampant relations which cause children, we have to be, I believe, really standing out there and saying, look, we believe there's a better lifestyle out there, but no matter what, if there's a child, there's a child that ought to be protected, cared for, loved, and we need to continue to advocate that this is a human being, no matter where it came from.
Now let me add to that, and I'm not trying to be funny, nobody don't take this seriously when I'm about to say it, as far as me hitting my kid out in public, but sometimes I just want to just knock the color off my kid's face sometimes when we're out in public, but I don't. And I don't even do it anymore like I used to whoop his butt. Now it's just spank his own butt. You know, I just kind of like just put him on a punishment now. But when I'm out, let's just say I'm out in public and somebody sees me spanking my child, well, they can just go call the cops and come, you know, the cops, you know, they might write me up or something and say, well, and they can even get CPS involved. There's some weird stories out there. Now, here's my point. Okay, you got to do all of that for some, okay, remember this kid was, now, the kid down, you know, there's a potential kid right now getting in aborted as we speak. And this is going to sound kind of mean to some people out there, but now, I just whipped this kid in public. Now I'm getting in trouble for a kid that's here. But what about the kid that's getting murdered? I'm disciplining my child, you know, and you're getting on me about whooping him on the butt. Of course, it's legal. But there's somebody, you know, kids getting killed every couple minutes. So the point is that we have to learn to draw the line that, like you say, kids that is in the womb has rights just as much as you want to turn me in for the kid that's here. You know, and I love my kids, both of them. I just had a newborn baby. She's upstairs, and she usually cries during every radio program. Thinks she's, you know, it's just nature. And I love my baby, both of them, my 7-year-old and my, you know, all my kids, two, you know, all of them, 13, 14. But the point is that we need to establish the fact that that kid that's in the mother's womb is just as important as the kid that you're trying to call me CPS on for.
Absolutely. I think that this speaks well of the fundamental change that needs to happen within our society. That is that the child within the womb needs to be seen as an equal and needs to gain dignity, which it doesn't have. Because, as you just very well stated, everybody cares about children. Everybody advocates for children. There's laws, as you just said, that people are trying to create that will say you can't even spank a child. There's a very strong pull within this society to be very nice to children and to care for them, while simultaneously, when those children are within the womb, it's legal to literally dismember them while they're alive. And so we have a great contradiction in this society for those who believe it's a child. And again, that's why the fundamental change that I believe must happen is we have to advocate for equality and dignity for these children. Because the moment that these children are seen as equals in the eyes of anybody you talk to, everything that's already built into their brain for protecting children, all those lights will come on, and the society may actually stop killing children legally.
Yes, sir. I'd like to apologize for the caller. I don't take calls. When I have three people on, I'm not going to take any calls. I just take people calls on too. And I'm even kind of nervous. After my experience being on Blog Talk Radio, I'm really nervous about taking calls. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny or nothing, but I had on one of my other radio programs, I had this person call in and say the most craziest thing in the world. And he knew it was an attack. I know it was an attack from the enemy, but I mean, this person, you think of the most strangest thing that you can hear on a for a caller say, and that's what's been said. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Santa's habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the scripture tells of his coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
Okay, we're back. I'm going to have a brother from my church on next Thursday. Hopefully he can come on. His name is Jeff Smith. He's the head of one of the departments. And there's some awesome things going on in the realm. God is doing some wonderful things through my church as far as abortion is concerned. And I let him tell you about it. There was a meeting that it was like a council meeting that they were going to vote on something, and only a few people that was pro abortion showed up. So that was awesome. God is doing things in that area, in that arena. So I'm going to also be starting a radio program out in the Spokane area, the great Spokane area. That's all in the works that the Lord is leading me to. One of my future shows, I'll tell you about the cassette tapes I got a while back in the 90s. It says how to broadcast from your home. And ever since, you know, God has been, I could see those tapes. I kid you not, I was living with my mom when I was an older age, and I joined the Army. And it turned out that the only thing that was in my possession, besides my teeth and my skin and my rest of my body, they say that the skin peels over every so often, so I didn't have some of my skin. But anyway, it's being funny. The only thing I possessed, that for 10 years, God preserved those tapes. So if God, you know, God, I have to, you still have to check and make sure this is what God wants you to do. But I enjoy what I'm doing, and I definitely enjoy the guest that we have today and what he stands for. So without further ado, let's get back into the conversation about abortion. I am very glad to have you here on the show, man. And I would love to have you back in a future date if that's possible. Let's aim at the government side of the deal, as far as the Democrats and the Republicans. And let me explain this, and I'll be quiet. I always look at abortion and other social issues as this. Democrat and Republican to me are the same. And I should have said that first, but I'm going to say this. If I'm in Seattle, Washington, and you're in Seattle, Washington, you get in the plane and I get in the train, we're eventually going to arrive to our destination, let's say Washington, D.C. I'm going to arrive there slower than you because I'm in the train. And you're going to arrive there faster than me because you're in the plane. But we both get there. We had 8 years of George Bush, and we still have abortion. Just because these guys run on abortion don't mean they're going to get rid of it. I don't know how legal it is, but I bet you if you research this, or if I research this, or whoever our audience researches this, we might find out that you might be able to sign an executive order saying there will be no more abortion. Now, what that will tick off a lot of people and maybe even get them assassinated. But I believe that if you never went up to a woman and said you can kill a kid, you can abort a kid. Let's say we never went up to a lady to say that. That never happened. There's no idea. There's no medical way to kill, you know, you have to have the kid. Now, if you never put that in her mind, then would you actually think, I wish I could kill my baby? Because I just got so many things to do. You think that's really going to come down the pipe? I doubt it. What if we wake up tomorrow and say, from now on, you can kill your husband? Once you get ticked off at your husband, you have the right to abort your husband when you sleep. But here's the laws and the guidelines. You first have to burn up the house and pour the gas, you know, in 45-degree angle. You know, and laugh out loud, but, I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but go ahead. I almost forgot I had a guest, but I'm really passionate about this area. And if any area gets me hot, not about the lady, not so much about the lady, but just the idea of it. I wish nobody, who invented this idea of abortion? Where did it come from?
Well, regarding the word abortion, if I can just throw something out there, I would have said this at the beginning. I was looking for a good time to say it, but if you were to look at my website, there's a part that says language use. Uh-huh. And if I could just kind of like jump in the middle of what you're saying before I go to that question you asked. Just so you know, and just so everyone knows about me, one of the things I'm advocating for is a change of language.
Okay.
That is, I don't believe that those of us who believe it's a child that's being killed should be saying the word abortion. And the reason for this is that the word abortion adds to the ongoing dehumanization of these children. Nobody refers to the death of an individual as an abortion.
Uh-huh.
And within our own language, unbeknownst to us, I think we've adopted a language use that dehumanizes the child, and we don't even think about it. And I'm out here trying to say, let's think about our words carefully. If we think these are children that are being killed, then let's speak directly and concisely and say that these are children being killed. And let's give them that dignity and equality. If someone were to kill my child, any of my children right now, I would never describe their death as an abortion.
Yes.
And I understand that it is referring to procedure, but let's not refer to the procedure any longer. I would suggest that we strive to use language that dignifies the child. In other words, we simply say that a child is being killed. The more we can avoid this dehumanizing term abortion, I think the better off we are at beginning to make this a culture that dignifies the child. And the reason I bring this up is you use the word abortion a lot. Most people use the word abortion a lot. And I don't even think they think about it. But the moment we start talking about the killing of children, it feels like the conversation changes. So what do you think of that?
Well, I want you to, please, if you tell me, I'll tell you a little quick story. I had somebody explain to me, they say, I said, I don't got no money. She said, God, say half. And that was like 20 years ago. So, I mean, please correct me. Correct me. What is what I'm going to say? What do you think I should say besides abortion?
Well, what I'm trying to suggest, and you just for you to think and consider, I'm just trying to suggest that we don't use that word. That word itself is dehumanizing. All we have to say instead is that a child is being killed. So, for example, you would no longer say I oppose abortion. You'd say I oppose the killing of children. If you want to be really specific, you'd say the legal killing of children, although I'm sure everyone just opposes the killing of children. Some other words that are very helpful to these children is child, just calling them a child. That's exactly what they are. If you look up in the dictionary, child is either a born or unborn person. So a child, a mother is with child. If she miscarries, it can be she lost her child. So calling them a child, and also being very careful not to use the word woman or lady or things like this, but to call her what she is. She's now a mother. And the moment you start doing these types of things, though they are subtle, I'm telling you right now, they are not subtle. Suddenly our conversation is about a child and a mother and whether it should be legal for a mother to have her child killed. Yes. And now we're really talking about the issue.
Yeah. Now, do you ever touch on the subject of and I won't go there if you don't touch on it, but as far as a form of population control?
Population control? The reason I stay away from it, though I've looked into it, and though on my own time I've spent a lot of time on it, the specifics behind it, I'm very careful not to get into conspiracy theories and things like this.
Yeah. Okay,
and I think we have, and here's the key, I think we have real solid ground in the science that this is a child that's being killed. And though there are all these extra things that are very interesting and tantalizing, and they tickle our ears, and very well some of them might be true, the fact alone that a child is being killed is fact enough that I think we can be motivated. The moment that we're starting to just think about the fact that a single child lost its life today, a single innocent child, with no legal protection, well, that's enough. Do we have to go any farther? Do we have to go into conspiracy theories? Do we have to go into population control? Do we have to go to the fact that it very well may be true that there are racists out there who are using the killing of children within the womb as a way to eliminate a certain race? Yeah, I think all that stuff is interesting, but I think we need to be careful. All we have to do is just recognize the fact that a child is being killed, and I think we should be motivated enough about that single fact alone to be outraged.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that you hit the nail on the head right there. That is enough. you hit the nail on the head. Okay. Do you know of any bills and legislation right now that is in Congress or that's on the that's out there in Congress that we should be aware of that has to do with abortion or murder? You want to call it child murder?
Yeah, as CFGA is saying in the chat room, murder. I just say the killing of a child because
killing of a child. Yeah.
But someone can say murder as long as referring to a child. I'm just kind of talking to someone in your chat room. As long as it's a child that we're referring to and we're talking about the killing or the murdering of this child, I think we're now talking about the real issue. Regarding bills, currently offhand, I'm not aware of any, and maybe I should know more about the bills. I know that there's people like the Stupak Amendment where they took and the money that would go towards the killing of children, they took that out of the bill, as far as I know, so that our tax dollars don't go towards the killing of children, and that went through, so that in this health bill that may be passed, your money, my money, won't go towards the actual killing of children. So some people were very excited about that. I personally, my honest response to that is, though I'm glad to hear that my money is not going to be going towards the killing of these children, I'm not that excited. Here's why. Children are still being legally killed. And so, yeah, my money is not supporting it, but still, the greater ill right now is that the fact that a child is still going to be killed. Whether I pay for it or not isn't that big of a deal to me, although I'm glad I'm not paying for it, but still, an innocent child will lose its life with no legal protection.
Do you know if any of our funds going over to help China kill babies? I've heard something like that before.
Say that one more time. I didn't hear you.
I've heard that we have some type of a stipend going over to China to help them in abortions. Is that just a rumor or what?
You know, I am unaware of that. I mean, I can look into it if you give me more specific information, but I'm unaware.
I just know that I've heard that there are bills that have been passed, and if anybody out there in the chat room know of any of this, please, in the Senate, just let us know. But there's supposed to be something in that we send funds to China. So I'm not going to really touch on this because I really don't know nothing about it. But,
yeah, I'm not sure about that. There was a thing. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna do some research. You do some research, and then we go back. It says somebody in the chat room. Some of them, they have a one child law in China. Yeah, that is true. Maybe they got doctors over there. I don't know. But we do some research in there. And then we get back to that a little bit later on. Could you go ahead and tell us do you got your next show advertised?
Do I have my own show advertised? Is that what you said?
No, do you have the next show, your next show that you're doing? Well, what is that going to be about?
Normally, I kind of think about what my show is going to be about as the week progresses.
Yeah.
My primary hope is that people will call in and we can discuss this very important topic. So I'm very interested in the dialogue. I love it when people who believe it should be legal to kill children call in so we can have that dialogue and we can go back and forth. And the primary reason I like that is because I don't believe that one can make a good argument for the killing of a child.
Yeah.
And so if they are willing to call in my show, and if anyone who's listening knows somebody who'd be willing to call in, that would be great, because once you get them on the line, it's very important to have that conversation.
Yeah. Now, do you ever get any arguments? Are you able to cool the storms? Do you get any arguments when they call in?
Well, that's the thing. I like to show that you can have a civil dialogue. Sometimes people get upset on the other end, but as long as you're careful, most of my conversations go all right. And I think that I'm trying to encourage the dialogue between yourself and everyone who's listening with those out there. As long as you're reasonable and respectful and careful, I think that we can have a good dialogue. I will caution, though, and I think this is huge. This topic is about the killing of a child. And so even when you're talking in public to anybody, it's possible you're talking to somebody who either, if it's a man, has had one of their own children killed, or if it's a female, she may be someone who have actually killed one of their children. And so that's one of the reasons this topic is so difficult to talk about, in my opinion. This is taboo. We're talking about a topic where we're accusing women of killing their own children. And so This is a huge stain on our society. It's very difficult to talk about because we're talking about something really ugly and something that nobody wants to fess up to. And even those mothers who do realize what they've done, many of them struggle with that fact for the rest of their life and are very wounded.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's a very difficult topic.
Okay. We're going to take a caller when we get back from a commercial break. We'll be back.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays, 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same, because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey, everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone. Apologize to anybody that I'm not responding to in the chat room. I have a computer that has like 3 or 4 screens, and then I have an Apple computer right in front of me. And this computer is sort of slow, so the certain windows are not opening during the show. So when I try to respond to somebody, because somebody asked me, can I put a link in the chat room? And I tried to put one in there, and I can't chew gum and walk at the same time. So I'm going to respond to a couple people, but I'm going to go ahead and answer this call. And then,
hello?
Hello, caller?
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, sir. Hey, is your guest still on?
Excuse me?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
You use
the word killing, and I'm not saying you were making light of the word killing, but I have a law background. And since I have a law background, I'm kind of big on verbiage or the definition of words because of the way the law stipulates certain things. We're talking about, you keep saying killing, and I just want to tell the definition of what's going on with abortions. The true definition of that word is not killing. Killing can be justifiable. Killing can be accidental. the true definition of abortion or taking the life of an unborn baby would be murder. That's the reason why we use the word murder. The true definition would be murder, because murder is premeditated. It's taking the life of innocence. Killing, I think, just kind of, even though the end result is both the same, whether it's a murder or killing, it results in the death of a human being or an animal or what have you. The correct terminology or the correct definition is going to be murder. And I think that word should be, I mean, you don't have to use it if you don't want to. That's going to be your correct definition. Murder is the correct definition of what we're talking about, not killing. Killing undermines it, underscores it far too much.
Yeah, well, I'd have to change my website, though. You can't make me change my website now.
No, I don't want to make you change. I don't want to make you change your website, brother. No, but I just, when I hear people say killing, just like in Scripture, and I'm a Christian, and I've taken theology classes. I've been a Christian for a while, and I know that if you look at there's certain different translations. We have several different translations of the Bible, but if we're going to be literalist, the true translation is in the Ten Commandments is "Thou shalt not kill." It's "Thou shalt." Actually, the true translation in the original is "Thou shalt not murder," because God never said "Thou shalt not kill," because God has given commandment to kill. Even in Romans 13th chapter, Genesis the 9th chapter, God gives the government or man the power of the sword to bring about justice and take the life of another human being, which would be killing justifiably. So that's why the word murder here is kind of important for me. You understand? I'm not trying to make a little mountains out of molehills, but you understand where I'm coming from.
No, I think that I understand what you're saying. I can't disagree with what you're saying, because, you know, to kill means, as I'm looking at a dictionary right in front of me, the cause of the death of. And so, like you said, there are justifiable, say, reasons to kill somebody.
Accidental, justifiable, yes.
Yeah, or in defense. Some would argue that in defense or to protect or different things like this. So I think your point is well taken. I will say, however, that regarding the phrase on my website and the context, I think that most will agree that that's enough, that that's clear enough. Now, I'm not disagreeing with what you said about murder, and I'm not disagreeing with the more precise meaning. I'm just trying to say back that I think the fact that we're killing children is enough to get people's minds focused on the right thing.
Yeah, and people do understand that, but you have a certain segment of the community who honestly don't. I mean, the great majority of people will understand exactly what you're saying. I just think murder kind of really, the definition murder there, it just kind of drives the point home more. And I'd like to make one comment. And I was thinking about this the other day, because there's a big deal being made out of this Tim Tebow commercial that's coming up next Super Bowl Sunday with his mom. And there's been people who have raised nine kinds of heck. He raised a lot of heck over this. Of course, they're paying $2 million for this commercial spot on CBS. And CBS is usually a very liberal organization that usually stands up more for Planned Parenthood and organizations that are into doing abortions. They fund them. I was thinking about this the other day, and I could be wrong. It could just be a theory, but I don't think I am. Do you think maybe abortions are pressed so hard and pushed so much because aborted fetuses are what's used in stem cell research, and it's a cheaper way for the stem cell research people to do their research? It's benefiting them. It's a money-making scheme.
Yeah, I think that it's possible that they can thrive off of the current culture, but the problem is there are so many children being killed. We're talking thousands, over 3,000 children killed every single day, and we're talking about 300 of those are after the first trimester every single day. And so these are very late-term children, well-developed children, whereas the stem cell research thing is kind of a related but separate category from the killing of children that we're referring to. I'm not saying they're not all connected together, but what I'm saying is what's going on in those clinics down the street from where you live, assuming there's one somewhere in your area, I think is a little bit different, even though they're ultimately connected, is a little bit different where they're actually just killing these children, and they literally discard those babies and sometimes even in trash, in the garbage. So
Planned Parenthood, I live here in the Memphis, Tennessee metro area, and Planned Parenthood closed its doors a few months ago. And that was the only one we had in the major metropolitan area. I'm not sure in the county or the suburb areas if there's any abortion clinics. But Ron Paul, who is an OBGYN, a baby doctor, made a comment during the primaries last year that I agreed with. Telly, two comments I really agree with. One that I really liked, he called abortion an actual act of aggression in which the United States Constitution promises to protect its people against acts of aggression, foreign and domestic. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think that we have everything that we need already within our Constitution to protect these children. The problem is they're not recognized as children. And that's why, even in your language, and I was telling him, like when you use the word abortion, I'm strongly encouraging people to avoid that word because it dehumanizes, in my opinion, and I think if you think about it for a little bit, dehumanizes the child. The moment we start talking about this as a child, they are protected under the Fifth Amendment, which says everyone should be protected. Everyone has a right to life. We have it in the cultural dogma, that is in the Declaration of Independence, but even in the Constitution itself, Bill of Rights, Fifth Amendment, it says that we have a right to life protected by law. And if I may go further, in the Supreme Court case, they actually quoted that and said that the child would be protected if it was a living person. So in other words, everything is there. The stage is set for us protecting these children. We just have to convince this culture that these are little people.
And actually, your Eighth Amendment right says we have the right to be protected from cruel and unusual punishment. Also, however, it stipulates while in custody. So, I mean, if there's a way to push that child be in his parent's custody in the mother's womb, and the mother's womb is the mother's womb basically is actually the safest place for any human being to be. That would be in your mother's womb. It's supposed to be the safest, most secure place for us. And the reason why it's the safest, most secure place for us, because that's where we're formed, in our mother's womb. And biblically, I've read in the book of Leviticus, the God's first covenant people, the Jews, if you even harmed a child, if you even harmed a pregnant woman, you could pay with your life. That's how serious the child's life was, even in its mother's womb. You could pay with your life even for harming a pregnant woman if there was any harm done to the baby. So it's an act of aggression. It's murder. I agree with you. I'd agree with you. Abortion is a light word because abortion sounds too innocent, sounds too scientific.
Medical procedure to stop something.
Absolutely. The state of Mississippi, I live around the border of Tennessee and Mississippi, just right outside of Memphis, and the state of Mississippi is trying to pass legislation right now to outlaw it, to outright outlaw abortion. There's a couple of senators right now trying to form a bill. They've gotten petitions throughout the state of Mississippi to take it to be voted on to get a bill passed. And although the United States Supreme Court has ruled that it is constitutional that you can't have an abortion, the state of Mississippi is going to go ahead and stand on the 10th Amendment and say, not in this state, regardless of what the federal government says. And if Mississippi can pass this, I think other states might follow suit, because I believe this is a state's right issue. I don't believe the federal government should be deciding this.
And ultimately, a human rights issue. That's why there are certain states that are trying to pass personhood amendments. If they can just get the state to recognize this as a person, then like I said, the Bill of Rights, Amendment 4, says no person shall be deprived of life.
Liberty and the pursuit of happiness.
It doesn't need to go anywhere. Well, that's the Declaration of Independence, but regardless, Bill of Rights, no person shall be deprived of life. There's little dots in there, but if you go read it, it's right there. And so the moment we as a society can convince everybody to agree that these are little people, this is you at the beginning of your life, a little while ago, these children already have protection within our Constitution and our law. But the question is, will we mobilize? I mean, this is the thing. You believe it, I believe it, but what happened to me was a friend of mine who's actually pro-choice was arguing with me one day, and he said, if you really believed what you say you believe, then there's no difference between what you believe and a guy walking down the street and shooting people. And he said, you should be doing more. Now, I'm totally against violence, against those that commit violence, but his question did make me think, and I thought, I should be doing more. And one of the purposes of me getting on the radio for my show and this show right now is in hopes that people will hear this and rethink what they already believe. That is, go from head knowledge to heart knowledge, right? To go from okay, I believe it's wrong to kill a person and children are being killed, to, oh my gosh, children are being killed. There's little innocent people being killed. Another one will be killed tomorrow. And we're talking over 3,000, but 3,000 is too hard of a number to understand. How about this for everybody who's listening? Just imagine one child, one innocent child. Forget the numbers for a second, even though we're at 50 million children killed right now. Just one child, because big numbers are hard for us to understand. For some reason, easier to understand is little numbers. One single child within the United States tomorrow is scheduled to die legally. That should get us outraged. One child. Think of Terri Schiavo. The nation stopped to talk about Terri Schiavo. One individual's death, unjust death, got us riled up, and rightfully so. One individual's death got us going, and rightfully so. What about these children? We know they're being killed, but at some point, the lights have to come on in our mind, in our heart, and we actually have to say, oh, wait a minute. And I think the nation will get outraged, and this will change pretty quickly.
Yeah. You know, if I have a child, and people got to think about this, if I was in my kitchen sink washing dishes or doing something, and my child came up behind me and said, Daddy, can I kill this? I would definitely turn around to see exactly what it was, or murder. I would turn around and see exactly what it was that he was saying that he was going to kill, or what he was going to murder. Just the same as, you know that's the real issue here. What is it that's being murdered? And I really wish that we would have some great Christian OBGYNs, medical doctors and scientists who are creationists, who are Christians, who would just stand up in public and just, you know, out and outright challenge whether it is a living child or not.
That would good news for you.
Start it off right. That would start it off
right.
I got good news for you. Oh, go
thank
ahead,
you, caller. That was awesome dialogue. That's what is you? So you're dude 777, Drew the 777?
No, I'm CFGA. It's a group we call ourselves. It stands for Christians for a Godly America, and we teach constitutional law and politics from a biblical worldview. A big group of Christians and we're just educating people.
Okay, are you on Blog Talk Radio?
I used to have a show, brother. I did, and I'm really seriously considering starting it back up again. I became a little bit disappointed when I first got on Blog Talk, because a lot of the shows, the most popular shows, were the shows where you had a lot of cursing and a lot of filthy mouth and then a lot of fighting. And it seems like every show I went to, people were getting into arguments and fighting like children. So I did what I normally do, just turn everything off and go get my nose into a good, good book, psychology book or book of a Bible or a historical book about scripture, founding fathers, things like that. I like to study.
Yeah,
so I read for months. So I'm considering getting another show again, trying to get it kicked back up with another person. I'm trying to get a partner, though. I got a couple of buddies in mind that I think I might have for a co-host.
Well, do me a favor, if you get a chance, email me after the show, and when you email me, just leave all your contact information. I want to talk with you. I enjoy the dialogue, because I believe, and I might sound kind of crazy when I say this, but I believe that Kobe Bryant didn't really get better until he started passing the ball. So I believe that the message of Jesus Christ should be shared, and the message of defense of human life should be expanded and unselfishly shared upon the world, because there's a lot of people, you stepping on my territory, you stepping on my feet, that you can take that to the garbage. Well, this, we need to get this word out. And it's not about, I want to be the lead singer. You need to just take but I enjoyed your two dialogue. That was awesome. That's better than what I can do. I mean, he got me rattled from what I should call it.
brother, you do a good job, my friend. You do a very good job. You do.
Thank you very much. I'll
email you, friend, and
Thank
talk to you a little bit more about it. But what I do? I just, it's from life experience. I've been a Christian for 18 years. I've been a human for almost 41 years now. As a police officer for years, and I get my nose stuck in just about any book. If if there's something during the week that really touches my heart, I feel like God's dealing with me, I'll jump neck deep into it and study into it thoroughly for a month. That's just what I do. But anyhow, hey, it was awesome talking to both of you. God bless you guys. Keep the up the good fight of faith, and let's take America back, because you know one thing, that one of my favorite authors, he was a seminary professor. His name is John Rossus Rushdunian, American-born of Russian descent. Genius man of God. He said this, and this is why I'm so adamant about teaching and getting the word out. Because those of us Christians, we have an obligation. We as Christians, we have an obligation to bring about a society that God desires, not a society we desire. And we were put on this earth to glorify God. Matthew 5:13 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We have to educate people. God bless you guys and have a great night.
Yes, you too. You too. And Jeff, can I call you? Did they call you Jeff?
Yes, my name is Jeff.
Okay. Jeffrey, because you got Jeffrey. I really want to get you back on the show. I'll be emailing you soon to let you know, because I'm going to make a big schedule out for a couple months. So if you can, just say yes or no. You can put no on there, yes or whatever. And, I'd love to get you back on the show. Can you go ahead and just take a little bit, just go ahead and plug your contact. Let me thank you first. Thank you very much for being on the show. I appreciate it. You're a great person to get on the show. I'm going to be spreading the word about you. I want you to do another commercial. I might even, for being on the show a little bit later, I'll actually have a commercial made for you, kind of like mine. But I want you to make me another one, because I love the one with you and your wife. That was an awesome commercial. So if you can just make me something, that'd be awesome. Just tell me, just let me know when you can do that. I'll just keep promoting your show, because I believe in this cause a lot.
Well, thank you very, very much. Promotion is great. I'm just trying to actualize what people already know. I'm dreaming and hoping that by talking about this more openly and having the dialogue with both sides, that more and more people will realize what they already believe, which is that children are being killed. That's the thing that I find most interesting about this. You'll have a conversation with somebody, and they'll be just like me a few years ago. They'll agree that children are being killed. They'll agree that it's wrong, and they'll say, "I oppose it," but they haven't really connected with what they already believe. For me, it was seeing my own daughter within the womb that enlivened me. It said, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe we're doing this." For others, it's just using the right language and saying, "Look, we're killing children. Have you thought about that?" And then suddenly the light goes on, and more people, when you have these simple conversations, go, "Oh my gosh, we're killing children." And then as that spreads, I think there can be real mobilization, and we can begin to, as a society, give equality to these children, dignify these children, and minimally say it should be illegal to kill them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, thank you so much, man, for your being on the show today. And I'm going to listen to your I'm going to go back and listen a lot. That's why I enjoy a lot of Blog Talk. That's what Brother was saying earlier. He was saying that a lot of the garbage was on here earlier, as far as Blog Talk Radio a while back. I enjoy a lot of the programming now, because it's pretty much clean light. And Rapture Ready Radio, some of the guys like that, and of course your website is awesome. So God bless you, man, and I'll be praying for you. And I'll get back in contact with you about being on the show in the future.
Well, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for inviting me on. And it was great talking to you.
Yes, God bless. Okay, so this is a successful show, I would say. I want y'all to go, and whoever's in the chat room, spread the word about this ministry, this program. We're not going to get all strange and talk about that the President Obama's an alien or something like that and get crazy. But we're going to spread the gospel. We are going to say some strange things on the show. But like he was saying, and I like what he said, and a lot of the people that come on the show, they people witness to me, even in my daily life, my wife witnesses to me without knowing they witnessing to me by saying, you know, keeping me in line. And I think that we need to stay on target and call a spade and not create conspiracies out of thin air, like the Federal Reserve creates dollar bills out of thin air. But the Federal Reserve is not federal, by the way. So saying that something is a conspiracy, to get Jesus on the cross, it was conspiracy. To conspire is to get together, and it's not a magic trick, it's not a hocus pocus, it's not. To conspire to get Jesus on the cross was not, didn't take a secret society, but it was done in secret. It wasn't done in the opening, so it was a conspiracy. So people make the word conspiracy as a taboo. Oh, let's not talk about conspiracy. But conspiracy is, you can't help it. It's there. The Federal Reserve is not federal. And if y'all don't believe that, go look it up on the line. Federal Reserve, not federal. You're going to find out if it's not federal, neither does it have a reserve. What's the big deal? They regulate our money supply. They regulate the money. They regulate the interest rate. So that's a big deal. We're going to end up broke. We don't know who's running the show. I think that's crazy. And when I say the federal, hey, man, you know the Federal Reserve is not federal? Oh, okay, whatever. No, that's not a conspiracy. Yes, it is. The Federal Reserve, they saying it's supposed to be federal. You know, why didn't they just name it something else then? You know, but anyway, I'd like to thank all my guests today, and I want to have Rapture Ready Radio on the program in a couple of weeks. And also, we are not to be chipped or something like that. I don't even know. The website's got so many words in it. It's we, because I'm getting mixed up with the last guest. But the guest I'm going to have on is dealing with the mark of the beast and the chip technology, and we're gonna have that person come on, a surprise guest actually. And then I got surprise guests all over the place, so I'm not really going to say anything until that person comes and is there and is saying, you know, I'm going to be on the show. I'm going to let y'all hear John F. Kennedy, and this is what I'm going to be talking about on the next show. I'm going to be talking about the media as far as the media is responsible to tell us the truth, and that they are not doing. And the first guest that we had on talked about subliminal messages and how they coerce us to believe what they want us to believe. Now, if people think that's a conspiracy, again, talk to the marketers, who the marketing people with those high class marketing degrees that goes to these corporations and say, here's how you sell a pair of tires. Or here's how you sell a burger. You do this. You do it with different colors. You do it with different, you know, shades. You do it with different sounds, different music, and inside of all of that is subliminal messages that not only is the commercial saying buy our product, but there's subliminal messages there saying buy our product. So the media is responsible to give us the true. Now, what did the media say? What did it say in the Constitution that the media is responsible to give us? Nowhere. So that's why it's easy for the media to slip away from us and go and just tell us anything, because they're not constitutionally binding. It's a private organization. Well, it was until 9/11, until the Patriot Act. And now the CIA is sitting inside of these studios telling the people with them, telling the CNN and Fox what to tell us. even to a point of Glenn Beck and people like that. We think that Glenn Beck is supposed to be there to, if anybody hear my crazy cat in the background, I apologize. He's acting up because the show is on. I sometimes call him Demon Cat because he shows up and always, and that's the first time he's ever done that. I guess he said bye to all of y'all. Said, But God is good and God is going to see us through. And sometimes people do preach the gospel with so many different crazy, prophecy, prophetic visions of, there's going to be UFOs landing in the, in Tiger Stadium or Yankee Stadium, and they're going to, take the president and kidnap him. Or some strange stuff like, the Antichrist is going to be a alien. Some stupid stuff like that. But here's a quick little tape, and I'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment.
Okay, that was the end of that one. I had something really good to say, and I was looking at the chat room, which just dropped to the floor. But I noticed that on Blog Talk Radio, a lot of people get all amped up in the chat rooms. I think we should not take things too personal. I think we should just kind of then look at the real surface of the deal. We Kill Children is the name of the website, but it's not easy. You heard him tonight, okay? Come on. I need to know if somebody out there know if you can mass mail your friends on Blog Talk Radio, because I'm not the dumbest person in the world, but I'm not the smartest either. I don't like the three in a row because it's just so time consuming. You just do three in a row and then you just keep doing it all day long. I think if anybody out there knows if you can mass mail your friends, I would love to hear if y'all can email me about that, because I'm getting tired of sitting up here just before a show and you got to go click, you just got to keep doing it repetitively over and over again. I think that's not good, okay? But I'll pray for everybody out there in the chat room. I think we should always, as Christians, be in the point that we are able to make the correction. And the Bible says we should be ready to judge, not to judge people to hell, but to judge people in the position that they're doing. I mean, the things that they're doing, because if you don't make a judgment, if I run a red light, the cops are going to get me for running a red light. But if I'm at the tail of a yellow light and I'm still running and then that light go, you ever seen that light go flash and they get you? Well, you got to make that judgment. Are you going to run that light? Now, a Christian should be doing it anyway, but we do things. Some Christians drive real fast. Now, if you see a car coming the opposite way in a four-way traffic, you're going to have to make a judgment. Do you make the judgment stop? Yeah, you should. If your family's in the car, you're going to kill yourself at least. So we get all ramped up about people making judgment. You're judging me. You're judging me, judging you. You're judging me, judging you, judging me. I mean, come on. As Christians, we need to make the proper judgment. And then the same Christian will be 5 minutes later, oh, it's okay for them to do that. It's, I don't see the problem of watching the, you know, some lady strip naked and HBO at 2 o'clock in the nighttime. What are you doing there in the first place? Putting yourself in dangerous territory, buddy. Oh, you can't just have your cake and eat it too. You can't say, oh, we need to be judged. We need to be, you know, stay out of that issue, or you guys are doing this or that, and that's wrong. And then 5 minutes later, they're doing something else. And I have to look at myself that way too. Do according to what the Word says. Do according to what the Bible says. I'm talking to myself. I'm not talking about my guests or nothing like that. I'm talking about myself. You know, and I think I'm talking about everybody else there. We need to follow the Word of God. You know, and I need to follow the Word of God and not say one thing's good and another thing's bad. You know, and pick our parties. But anyway, I need to find a theme song to go off with because I still didn't find one. But God bless. God bless. Have a wonderful day.